B-Pod Studios.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
I've not been this happy in a long time. And it was like it was awesome to find out. We were down in Disney doing the NBA experience, and when the news hit that this man was back, I gotta tell you, I was ecstatic. I felt like I got my Phillies back. I felt like I got my sports back when this man came back. And you know what? He had some magic early, man. That's for sure. That there was Charlie comes back and they start hating. And we hear Charlie in the stands. He joins us now live from Boston, the Skip, and new Phillies hitting coach, Charlie Manuel, on 97.5 The Fan. Skip!
How's it going, man?
What's
How's
up, going? Man?
Doing good.
First of all, you know how I feel, so I'm ecstatic that you're back where you should be in uniform.
Yeah, I think it feels great to be in uniform. I love being around the game. I love the guys. I love being in the locker room and the dugout, and it's been real exciting, and everything about it's been absolutely great. The first three games, of course, we played was really dramatic, and you know, like, and we did a lot of things well. You know, like, we stayed with it, and we came back and won the games late, like historic games, really. And then the last 2 days, we had just hadn't scored enough runs, but at the same time, I looked at our team, and if you saw us play the last couple of days, we've had some hitters that go up there and really, you know, like, they really putting a lot of effort into it, and they got a lot of determination because we work counts, and actually we hang in there and battle it when we get behind in the count. And those guys are like JT Romero, Bryce Harper on lefties. He's really been bearing down. Dickerson, yesterday Segura had had two doubles, of course, and he had that last at bat. I don't know exactly how many pitches he fouled off, but he had a long at bat, and he really was battling, and he ended up striking out. But at the same time, it was a tremendous effort. But there again, we didn't score enough runs, and we know that. And it's just a matter of us, you know, like getting things to go good for us. We had a good chance, but at the same time, too, those last two games are gone, and you like we got off day to day, and tomorrow we come back out, and we be even more determination. We take them one at a time. We're going to be good.
Skip, when you. How do you bounce when you come in like the way you come in now, this late in the season? What's your strategy in, you know, teaching hitting and balancing all the stuff that was being told to those guys to now what you're doing?
Yeah, I try to basically what I do that, you know, like there's a lot of guys on our team that don't really know me, and then they go on what they've heard about me. So, but at the same time, it's very important that I communicate with them, and you know, like, and talk to them, and try to get to know them as quick as I can. And also, as far as you know, trying to change them or something like that, that's not going to happen. But, you know, like, actually, until I sit there and I watch them for a while. When I say something to them, I want to be right on. I just don't want to throw information out there just to be having a conversation with them, you know. And but at the same time, too, if I can get them to relax, and you know, like, and just be very positive around them. Let them talk a lot of times, Anthony. You know, like sometimes when you're talking to hitters, I don't even have to talk. You know, like by them carrying leading the conversation and everything. You know, like when he gets through talking to me, he's ready to go. So you know, it's all a lot of touch to it. But at the same time, the teaching part would definitely come as we keep getting on into the games.
Yeah, wait, can you explain, because we hear a lot about launch angles and hot zones and, you know, what the taking pitches for the sake of taking pitches. Can you make some sense into, you know, the proper approach? And, you know, you've been starting hitting a long time, man. I mean, ever since I love the story of the magazine as the plate. Right, like when you sat and you picked the greatest minds of all time in hitting. So, can you tell us, you know, like what we hear and what actually needs to happen?
Yeah, well, actually, like when we say, for me, you know, like this is my philosophy, and for me, you know, like when we say, you know, like we're going to work the count, so that means that we're going to take some pitches. But at the same time, too, we got to know exactly, you know, like where we're at the plate, and if we got it covered, and then we got to have an idea of what the strike zone is, and we got to get a good ball to hit. And you like as you got counts like first pitch, the second pitch, and then we go down any one strike, two strikes, balls, things like that. Best counts to hit out of is 3-0, 3-1, 2-0, 2-1. Those are the becomes like that. Then you like when you start a count, usually you go up and you look for a good ball. The rule of thumb, first of all, is get a good ball to hit. And you like when you get a good ball to hit, you try to drive it. But now, if the pitcher's not throwing you strikes and you patient at the plate and everything like that, and you're working the count, you will take pitches. And if he doesn't throw you strikes, of course you walk. And that's to me like I've been a hitting coach for a long time in the game. Ever since I've been in the game, from a coach or manager's aspect of it, and I don't talk. I don't talk to hitters about walking.
That's not your style, man.
Right. If you don't get a good ball to hit, well, then you walk, and walking is a part of the game. And I've had some guys. If you go back and look over through the years, quite a few of them. You know, like you look up, they got 100 walks and they're 100 and all that. They got high on base percentages, and you know, like that helps to make a big offense.
Well, look, I mean, you did it here as manager. You did it in Cleveland. You had guys that would do that. Now, my only question, though, is when we talk about, it's twofold. When we talk about taking pitches, I think this team kind of got lost a little bit where they're taking first pitch fastballs. Like when you can't, you got to be looking. If a pitcher knows that you're take, they're going to try to get me over fastballs. And you got to protect that.
Right. I understand exactly what you're saying. But most of the time, you know, like, there's nothing wrong with if I haven't hit off of a pitch or maybe that I haven't hit off of him only a few times. If you go up and you take you're looking to see how hard he's throwing or something,
right?
And actually you would take a first pitch fastball,
sure.
But then at the same time with all the data and the information we got nowadays on pitchers, it tells you how many fastballs they throw in the game and when and things like that. And, you know, like, if you go up I have no problem at all. If a guy, if he's got experience hitting off of a guy before and he gets a good fastball to hit on the first pitch, I have no problem at all with him swinging a bat. I don't mind that at all. As long as he's getting good pitches in the strike zone.
Sure. What's your, we were talking to the great Charlie Emanuel, Phillies hitting coach. It's so great to see him back in uniform and hearing the Charlie, that was awesome. The crowd loves you, man. They just love you. You know that. What's your philosophy on launch angles?
My philosophy on launch angle is, at the point of contact, the point for the ball, where the bat hits the ball, at the point of contact, that's my impact of the ball, and you know, like the speed coming off the bat coming off the bat, of course, and then basically what that is, that right there is where my launch angle's at.
Mm-hmm.
Now in order for me,
call it bat path. Call it a bat path, yeah.
Right. Now when I my launch angle, it's for me, where I can, get high velocity off the bat and things. And usually, that point would be, hit the ball and go all, hit straight through the ball in the angle of what's the angle of bat when it hits the ball? To me, that's your launch angle on hitting that ball at bat. And, at the same time, one of the biggest things, misconception of it, I think, is that you see guys who start out, with a bat path, it's kind of like an uppercut swing.
Yeah.
The ball above my hands is an uppercut. And once the ball gets above my hands, I've only got, I would say, like four or five 6 inches in my swing where I can make contact with the ball. So therefore, I cannot consistently hit the ball. And that's why that you don't, a lot of guys don't talk about, baseball, don't talk about uppercut. Now, if my bat is more kind of downward plane, you know, like, and it's going to stay on, the plane of the ball is going to be my hitting area. The plane of my hitting area is going to be, of course, much longer. You know, like, I can be late, I can hit the ball, you know, like, right on time, or I can hit the ball out front and things like that. So the path of my ball, path of my bat staying on the ball gives me a chance to, you know, like, make more contact, be a more consistent hitter. You know, like, and then, of course, you know, like, my swing is, it's not what you call an exact level swing. My swing is an arc. And I used to talk to Williams about the arc all the time.
Ted Williams,
you can have what I call a little lift.
Yeah.
In my swing, or if the ball is real low, that's why you bend your legs and you stay back behind the ball and it is a lift. A low ball, any ball is below my hands. You know, like, as long as I keep my hands above the ball.
It's natural. It's a natural lift.
Right. That's a natural lift. That is a lift. And any ball below my hands is a lift.
Hmm.
And you could, that's how you get the ball up in the air. We don't talk, we never talk about hitting balls on the ground, especially to a big guy. And because, he's also taught to get the ball in the air and how you get, when he's also learned how to get the ball in the air. And it is a lift.
Fascinating.
If that makes sense. If you understand.
It makes perfect sense. It does. Charlie Manuel. And that's the thing. It made perfect sense for a guy like you who knows all, like, so much about hitting, to put you back in uniform is great.
The Mike Missinelli Show. .975 The Fanatic.
How's it been working with Gabe?
It's been good. I mean, I came back to be a hitting coach, you know, like, for the rest of the season and everything, and I definitely want to be an asset to our team as much as possible. And I'm there, you know, like, do a good job, you know, like, and I want to see us win some games and, of course, get into the playoffs. Gabe's been fine. All the coaches have been fine.
Great.
I got two guys that help assist me and Andy Abad and Petey Guerrero. And, you know, like, both of those guys are outstanding. And really, I mean, I'm looking forward to it. It's a big challenge. And Anthony Ashley, you know, like, what I've had to do with it, I don't know at all. I mean, you know, like, but you know, like, I'm around it. And if I can get the guys to relax and you know, try to pump them up and things like that, well, you know, like, I've had a history of doing that. And, you know, like, hopefully I can continue doing that, too. You know?
I mean, I tell you,
that's the asset of it.
Yeah, man. Listen, I can already see with Bryce. I mean, when he hugged you, right? That was, first of all, you always told me about Bryce. You and Bryce have a really, really strong relationship, and you always, even you and I would talk this year. And you say, listen, man, Bryce will get back. Bryce will have, you watch. He's going to get hot. And you believed in Bryce. And it's funny, you step in and then Harper has those moments. And I don't think that was coincidence.
You know what? I'll tell you something. I haven't told Bryce anything, kind of anything at all about his hitting. You know, like, I might have said something to him about, something simple, but as far as me making some big statement and him going out there and hitting, you know, like, I cannot take any credit at all for that. But at the same time, even if he's turning up, I'm not going to take credit for it, because, you know, like, that's how the game goes. You know, like, I'm the teacher,
sure.
And you know, like, he's the pupil, and you know, like, he is the guy doing the hitting. And basically, that's why I give all the players credit for all the time too. I mean, they get the credit because, you know, like, they're the one that makes my job great. You know, like, mm-hmm. you know, like, if some guy can improve and some guy can be a big hitter and you know, like, a big career in the big leagues, that right there is the whole point about me liking to be in the game.
Now, you always say you love the game. And I listen, I was talking about, you got to do me a favor and tell a story. I always ask you to tell one story every time I have you on. And this one is one of my all-time favorites because I told the people, I told Tyler, and I told Natalie about how you, when you were playing in Japan, you entered the Japan baths. So you got to tell the story to the audience.
I don't think I can tell that on radio, man. I don't know if people quite understand that.
Well, I told them that it's a custom. The baths are a custom in Japan. They're in these hot, it's almost like a pool, and it's these hot.
Well, let's just say that they had a lot of women that got off work and came in there to take a bath, okay? And I just happened to be, kind of thought I was sleeping there in that bath because I was so sore and tired because they worked me out all day long, and I felt, and I couldn't even move. And, it's almost like I was dreaming or something. All of a sudden, I look up and I see all these women. That might be as far as I can go.
That's it. That's perfect, man. It's a custom in Japan. I just want to tell the audience, make sure that these baths are, it's a customary thing that after work, you went to the bath, and Charlie looks up and there's a lot of women coming into the bath, and he's going,
And I swear, I was so tired, and I was just laying there with my eyes closed and things like that, and I thought I was dreaming.
Yeah.
And some of them come over, and they were giggling, and they poke me on the arm or something like that. I'm going, whatever. Now I'm done. That's it.
They didn't see muscles like that, man. Yeah. No. Oh, that's classic. Skip, real quick, what was it like the other night when the fans were chanting your name, Charlie? What was that like for you?
You know what? That's a great feeling. I mean, I get a charge out of that. I don't know really how to react to it.
No,
there are all the success that our players and our teams had, and the fact that I was the manager, and evidently, because that our players and the people in our organization and my coaches and myself, we did a job, and it's kind of like that they are hollering for me, but at the same time, I know a lot of them means that that they hollering actually because they enjoyed are winning and basically us winning the World Series and things like that. And hopefully I had a part in that, but at the same time, those guys and the people that made that possible too, they deserve every bit of those hand, or recognition like that, really. But it's great. It's a great feeling, and it's good for somebody to like you that much.
Yeah. Well, you don't have to worry about that here, man. They love you.
That's great.
Yeah, they always did, man, and they love you. And it feels like Listen, there's a meld of the old school baseball hitting with, and it's funny because you've always used analytics. It's never. This is not anything new to you. Right. You would get a whole report before every game, so it's not like the analytics or anything new. But it does feel familiar, I think, to people having you in uniform.
The analytics parts that we get is, we always had that in some respect, but at the same time too, there's definitely more data on it. Mm-hmm. And there is, some things that are really interesting. I would say people would be surprised on how much of it I like.
Yeah.
And things like that. But there's some that I will argue on in my philosophy and what I think, but listen, I think that's the same. If I was to sit down with guys and talk about hitting and everything like that, everybody's not going to agree with you.
No, that's it, and that's why you would have those arguments with Ted Williams about hitting in a hotel bar.
Right, exactly.
Right. I pay attention.
He cusses me out.
That's awesome. Listen, Skip, We love you, and we hope this is goes beyond this year. I'll tell you that much, and we hope you have a big time effect and get Reese hitting again, and you get the guys going. Right. So we're thrilled to have you back, brother.
Right, I felt like the other night the last two games Reese has played, that he's definitely swung better. The ball's starting to barrel balls up now, and he hit a couple balls that the guys caught, and his swing is definitely getting better. And Reese is a good hitter, and he's definitely going to hit, and like we need for him to hit, of course, and he's a big part of our offense. And I'm pulling for him, and if we can do anything to help him, our guys and myself, we did, we definitely want him to get going, of course.
Skip, well, listen, thanks so much, bro. Listen, good luck in Boston, man. Uncle Charlie says it's hitting season, baby.
That's right. Thanks for having me, man.
Thanks, brother. We love you, buddy. Take care. The great Charlie Manuel.